take a glance from the corner of your eye, you might see a pickup passing by and no one at the wheel. Just the shadow of a cowboy.
This is Will Houck with KNBC and Nevada Capital News, and I'm talking with singer-songwriter Andy Hedges. Thanks for joining me today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, one thing I find interesting is your use of the word songster to describe yourself. Can you tell us about that word and why you use that?
Yeah, songster is an old-time term that is really for someone who is known for their repertoire of songs rather than, you know, for songs that they have written. So it's a word that might be used as opposed to a songwriter. You could call someone a songster. And so it, you know, it is that repertoire of songs, but also songs in a wide variety of styles. And so the term is often used to describe some of the early African American musicians who weren't just blues players, but they played the blues, but they also played the popular songs of the day, and they played novelty songs, and they played old ballads, and they were almost like a living jukebox, and they were just, you know, there to play whatever songs the people wanted to hear, and were capable of playing those songs in all these different styles. And so I really liked that idea, and for me, that kind of resonated with what I try to do with old-time cowboy music, and with the idea of the music of that time and the music that the, you know, the old-time cowboys and the trail drivers, the music that they would have been hearing and singing and playing was not just old-time cowboy songs, but was a lot of these other influences, gospel songs, popular songs, novelty numbers, you know, and then the different origins of the music, the Celtic songs, you know, the English, Scottish, Irish ballads coming from the old world, but then also the freed slaves who were playing the music that would eventually become the blues. All that's kind of coming together and cowboy music developing out of that. And so I thought the term songster just kind of fit what I do, kind of trying to tap into these different styles and play a wide variety of songs. And I, you know, I do write a few or some here and there, but that's not really primarily what I am. I don't really think of myself as a songwriter, more of an interpreter of songs. So I just adopted that term songster, at least for a couple of records, you know, that I called Cowboy Songster and then Cowboy Songster Volume 2. And so kind of from that, some folks certainly refer to me as a songster now.
Well, you performed many years at the Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko and also gatherings around the United States, and I'd love to hear about your connection to Western and cowboy culture and why that's something that stuck with you.
Yeah, I started going out to Elko back in 2000, so it would be 20 years ago, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
And I guess my interest from that, it kind of comes from my dad. Originally, my dad used to ride bulls and is kind of a cowboy type of a guy. And so when I came along, I grew up hearing his old rodeo stories, and I grew up listening to music that he liked, which was old Western music, things like Jimmy Rogers and Tex Ritter and Sons of the Pioneers and Marty Robbins, Johnny Horton, and Gene Autry, things like that. And so I loved that music as a kid. And I just, you know, for whatever reason, I loved all things to do with the West and all things to do with cowboy culture. And I, you know, didn't really grow up on a ranch and, you know, never considered myself a working cowboy. But I did grow up in the country, and I did grow up around cows and horses and kind of grew up around that culture, at least to a certain extent. And just had this fascination with it. And I, at some point, discovered that there was this modern renaissance of cowboy music and also cowboy poetry that was really flowing out of the Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko, which had started in 1985. And you know, I would have been 4 years old when the first gathering happened. And so it was a few years later in the early 90s when I was a teenager that I discovered these other gatherings were happening in Texas, and I discovered some of the artists that had come out of that, like cowboy poet Waddy Mitchell and the great balladeer and songster Don Edwards and Michael Martin Murphy. And so I discovered that, and that just, yeah, I just fell in love with it and was really excited to learn that there were people currently playing this music that I had kind of grown up listening to, and that it was much broader and deeper than I'd ever realized, with all the old-time music and then the contemporary songwriters and, of course, the cowboy poetry tradition. And so I just tapped into that world and really immersed myself in it, and I started teaching myself to play the guitar, and I started reciting traditional cowboy poems. And you know, from the very beginning, when I really discovered this, I was especially interested in the traditional songs and the classic poetry, and you know, wanting to know where did this come from, and where did people pick up these songs, and who were the people who collected them and wrote them, and you know, how did the tradition get started, and how had it continued on? And so I just dove into that, and anything I could get my hands on, an old record, an old book of classic cowboy poetry, or these book, you know, cowboy song books, I just grabbed anything I could, and I started traveling to these gatherings, cowboy poetry gatherings, and performing at them. So by the time I was old enough to drive, I was getting gigs and driving around the country to these different events, and then eventually got invited to Elko, like I said, in the year 2000, and so that was 20 years ago, and so I've just continued down that road ever since then. I've been back to Elko, of course, many times, and there's these other gatherings around the country, and I've just sort of, you know, found my passion in playing the old traditional songs and reciting the classic poetry. You know, and I'll sing a new song or write a new song every now and then, and I'm always rewriting old songs, or, you know, finding an obscure tune that no one's heard, or maybe setting an old poem music. So it's not just copying what someone did before me, but that old traditional material is really the basis for what I do. And none of that would have happened without Elko and the movement that really, you know, grew out of that first gathering in 1985.
Yeah, you know, this last year, we were just talking earlier, this last year was the first time I went, and I could just tell that there's such a cool community out there, and the people who are there know each other, they're old friends, and they've been doing this for a long time, and it's a really special thing that's going on out there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful tradition that's there, and there's a real kind of family feeling to the whole thing, or maybe a reunion, you know, like you said, lots of old friends, people who've known each other a long time, and it's that event has always attracted very interesting people and a very diverse crowd of people, both in the audience and on the stage, and so it really is special. It's kind of hard to explain to people, but there's a lot of working cowboys and ranch people that are in town and who have been involved with that event for a long time. But really the majority of the audience has become urban folks, or, you know, coming out from California and other places, who are just very interested in the culture. But there's also musicians who have showed up out there and become a part of it that are, you know, really fascinating people, like Ramblin' Jack Elliott. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mentioned Michael Martin Murphy, someone who had a really great career in pop and country music, who really wanted to play cowboy songs and was inspired by the gathering. And Ian Tyson, who had also, you know, had this incredible career in folk music with Ian and Sylvia back in the 60s, mm-hmm. who had started writing cowboy songs before the gathering happened. And then so many incredible writers and poets, and you know, it's it's really fascinating that somehow all of this stuff was kind of brewing all over the West, and these folklorists, Hal Cannon being the main one, and then the poet Waddy Mitchell, you know, had the idea and the vision to have a gathering and bring those people together. And it's just one of those things. It's hard to explain, but it was just the right time for it, and it just created this scene where you had all these different things going on that were connected, whether it was all these guys and gals writing poetry, or these really fantastic established musicians who had a real interest in cowboy songs, wanting to really devote their career to that, to people writing new songs and people playing the old Hollywood Western music, and these groups like Riders in the Sky coming out. And it's just really kind of amazing. You know, it all just happened, and everyone came together, and it really, out of that, you know, created this whole movement. You know, it's always been there. Cowboy music and poetry has always been there. It's always been a part of course, cowboy and ranch culture, and it's kind of always had its place in American culture too, whether it's the Hollywood version of it or the old-time song finding a place in folk music. But Elko really gave all that a place to exist, and from that, kind of this whole movement, you know, now there's a whole circuit of these cowboy poetry gatherings and Western music events, and so it really helped establish it more as its own genre, and, you know, created a space for people like me to perform and, you know, have some sort of a career and, you know, playing this kind of music. So it's a very cool thing. I'm really grateful to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Well, that's a good segue into I wanted to talk about your podcast, Cowboy Crossroads. You've had all kinds of incredible musicians on the show: Ian Tyson, Coulter Wall, Corb Lund, Tom Russell, Michael Martin Murphy, just to name a few. Can you tell us about the podcast and how it got started?
Yes, I had the idea to start a podcast about 3 years ago, and it really happened because I was listening to some of these music podcasts where someone would interview songwriters or interview people who, you know, session musicians maybe, who, or producers who had been in the room when great records were being made, and just these people with really interesting stories. And there's a few of those podcasts that are really great. I was especially inspired by one called Thanks for Giving a Damn that Otis Gibbs produces. And I just had the thought that, man, somebody should do this with cowboy poetry and cowboy music, because there's so many interesting characters and interesting artists. We have these great stories, and it kind of occurred to me that, hey, maybe I'm the guy to do that, because I know all of these people, and I often find myself backstage or going down the road or visiting someone's ranch and hearing their incredible stories and getting to know them. And I thought, you know, it might be a neat thing to be able to record that and share it with an audience. And so I had that vision and just jumped into it without really knowing what I was doing. I really had the idea, and within about a week, I think I was recording my first interview and trying to figure out how to use the gear that I'd bought. Right. And I've just kind of continued on the last 3 years, and it's really an extension of what I've been talking about with my interest in the old-time music and my fascination with cowboy culture, because I've been so influenced by all these different artists that we're talking about. And the podcast, it was not only a way for me to share that with a broader audience, but it was a way for me, and still is a way for me, to really dig even deeper, you know, these people that have influenced me or that I've admire, or, you know, find their work to be interesting. It's a way for me to get to know them on a deeper level and dig into their work and into their story, and try to understand more about where the songs come from and where the poetry comes from, and, you know, what it is about this culture and this lifestyle that draws people to it and produces the art that it produces, you know, just where do these stories come from? And so that's what I try to do, you know, with each interview and with each episode. And I try to release about one a month. A great thing about a podcast is it can be a little bit sporadic, and so that fits my schedule. I just keep cranking them out, and thankfully I have a real devoted audience, people who really enjoy listening to them, and it's fulfilling to share these stories and hopefully share a part of this culture, you know, working cowboy culture, which I think is just a very rich and rewarding and fascinating part of our country here in the United States. And so it's fulfilling to share that with people who enjoy hearing about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a unique thing. It's super cool. So, hey man, your most recent record is called Shadow of a Cowboy. And I really like the title track. I've been playing it on my show, and I'd like to hear about that song and where it came from. Is that a song you wrote, or is that one of the ones you gathered from somewhere?
That's one that I gathered, but it's not an old time song. It was written by a songwriter named Tucker Zimmerman, who was originally from the U.S., but lives over in Europe now and has for many, many years. And it's a bit of a long story, but I became aware of him because of his connection to a guy named Daryl Adams. And Daryl Adams was an old-time banjo player who had moved to Belgium back in the 50s when he first went to Europe and ended up settling in Belgium. And at that time, when he went to Europe, he went with Ramblin' Jack Elliott. Him and Jack used to play in a duo together.
Okay.
And so I became a fan of Daryl Adams, and he had recorded a song that Tucker Zimmerman had written. Tucker Zimmerman's a friend of Daryl Adams, and that song is called Oregon, which I also recorded on this new record. And just through looking into that song and who Tucker Zimmerman was, and you know, trying to look him up, I also discovered this song, Shadow of a Cowboy, and I just loved it when I heard it and decided to record it. I was actually already kind of in the process of making this record, and I discovered that song and just thought, man, that's got to be on the record. And then I realized, you know, that's probably the title of the record. And so it all came together. And one thing I wanted to show with that particular album is that this cowboy song tradition, it's not just something that is from the trail driving era or from a certain, you know, time in our history. You know, it's not like the tradition ended in 1920 or 1930 or whatever, but it's something that's continued on. In fact, that's a thing I like to point out about traditional music, is that it doesn't mean that it's just music from a time in the past, but it is a tradition, meaning that it has carried on and it morphs and it changes, and it's something that people participate in and kind of add to it. And so there's always new songs coming out of the tradition. And so I kind of tried to show that with this record. And so there is a song from the trail driving era. And then there's maybe a song or two from the 1930s. You know, there's an old Carter Family song. Mm-hmm. And there's songs from the 1950s from people like Jimmy Driftwood and Peter LaFarge. And then there's contemporary songs like the one I was just talking about. And then a few things that I collaborated with some of my cowboy poet friends, you know, Waddy Mitchell and John Doffelmeyer, and I recorded a song my friend Joel Nelson wrote. And so I was just trying to show that the tradition is alive and well, and these songs are still coming out of it, and that, you know, fits with what I do, fits with this idea of the songster and playing all these, you know, variety of songs. And it's something that is continuing on. So that was kind of my vision behind the record.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a great record, man. That sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
So you'll be performing out at the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko in February. What can people expect from you at the gathering?
Well, the theme this year for the gathering is Black Cowboys, and I'm on one show that's devoted to that, or at least the idea of the blues on the range. And so I'll be playing some material at least inspired by the blues and by the contributions to our music that the Black Cowboys have made. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be a part of it. But I'll also be reciting poetry and just doing what I do, you know, playing these songs. Honestly, when a gig's that far out, I don't have any idea really what I'm going to do until I get there. But certainly some of it will, you know, relate to that Black Cowboy theme. And I'm also on a show. I think these shows are sold out, these ticketed shows, but I'm on a show that's a tribute to Don Edwards, my dear friend and hero, really. And so that's going to be a fun thing that I'm honored to be a part of, paying tribute to Don and, you know, singing some of his songs.
Yeah.
And it should be a great gathering. It's an incredible lineup. And, you know, I mean, you were just talking about how it was your first time out and you're already coming back the next year. And that's a story that you just hear over and over again. People go to the Cowboy Poetry Gathering for the first time and they usually come back. There's something about it that's very compelling, maybe even addicting, that people feel like they find something that they needed in their life and they come back to it year after year. And so it's a very special event. It's not just your average festival or concert. It's something with a lot of substance and feeling to it, and certainly a wonderful vibe and something that continues to draw all of us back, you know, year after year.
Definitely. So what projects do you have coming up in the future? Do you got any more records you're working on, or are you gonna be, obviously the podcast I assume is still going on. What are the other things you're working on?
Well, I certainly have a podcast, you know, that'll be coming out, working on one right now that will hopefully be released in the coming days. And planning ahead for next year, I don't really announce my guests until each one comes out. I like to keep that as a surprise for folks, but certainly some good guests coming up. And, you know, I don't have any specific plans for a new record, but I'm always gathering songs and, you know, things are kind of brewing in the back of my mind. And I'm sure some of the songs I'm collecting and working on right now will find their way onto a new record. And certainly got some exciting shows coming up, Elko being one of them. I'll be opening a show here in Lubbock where I live for my friend Tom Russell.
Nice.
Right after the first of the year. There's a new cowboy gathering starting up in Alpine, Texas. It's, I guess, in a way replacing an old one there that just ended, but there's a new gathering kind of arising in its place. Mm-hmm. That I'm really proud to be a part of. And honestly, I plan to just keep plugging away, going down the road, playing these shows, doing some interviews, and collecting songs, and keep doing the work that I do. And sorry, I'm rambling a bit here. I guess the short answer, I don't have any real specific projects other than just continuing on, you know, with the general work of trying to produce a podcast and being a songster going down the road.
Yeah, it's kind of a vague, like, description of what to do. You know, you're just you're always just gathering stuff and playing and doing stuff.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's cool. Cool, man. Well, if people want to know more about you and check you out online, what's the best place to go for them?
Well, the website is andyhedges.com. The name of the podcast is Cowboy Crossroads, and you can find that on my website, but you can also find it anywhere you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, those kinds of places. You know, search for Andy Hedges, Cowboy Crossroads, and you'll find the podcast. And, yeah, that's the main the main places. Of course, all my music's available at the usual download and streaming sites.
Right.
So,
and then social media is your name on like Instagram and Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You can find me on all of those places: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm pretty easy to find if you just look up Andy Hedges. You should find me.
Awesome. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you chatting with me tonight and taking the time to talk about all this stuff.
Yeah, man, I'm honored to be on the show. Thanks for having me, and thanks for playing my music and just in general playing, you know, Western music and folk songs and, you know, something other than the mainstream drivel. You know, it's really nice to know there's radio people out there who are still choosing the music that they play and playing things that are really worth listening to. So thanks for shining a light on what we do.
Traced in the flicker of greasewood fire, the cowboy kid saw his heart's desire.